Listen up, Slappies. That's right. The Last Outlaw. Double J, Jeff Jarrett here. That's right. That's J-E-double-F-J-A-double-R-E-double-T. That's Double J, Jeff Jarrett. The world's greatest singer. The world's greatest entertainer. And you absolutely know the world's greatest wrestler. And at this time, I'd like to welcome you, that's right, to the Kick It Out podcast. And it's hosted by none other than three absolutely diehard AEW fans. That's right. It's Tanner Lee. It's Austin Shepherd, and it's Paul Zartman. Folks, buckle up. It's going to be a hell of an episode. And oh, I've got one last thing to say. Why don't all you folks choke on that, you bunch of slap nuts?
One, two, kicking out yet a brand new episode of the Kicking Out podcast. It is Sunday night. It's August 23rd, 2026. And J-E-double-F-J-A-double-R-E-double-T, Jeff Jarrett, the legend himself, was right. It is going to be a hell of a podcast tonight because, Paul, we are 1 week away from AEW All In.
We are. And you're just over there marking out every time you hit go live. So, you know.
I love it. I love that intro. How we doing, Paul?
We're doing good. Look what came in the mail.
Oh, sharp looking Mountain Dew Pulse shirt. Where'd you get that shirt, my friend?
A little place called kickingoutshop.com.
Kickingoutshop.com. Mr. OTM, Kyle himself in the chat. Evening, Kyle. Hope you're doing well, buddy. Brandon James, he's excited for All In, just like
aren't
you and
we
I
all?
Are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're not, I don't think you're following AEW.
What's your opinion on a 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time start time
for next week? Fantastic.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you know, you got to work your Sunday around it, but it's better than 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Especially you know? With how long Tony runs his pay-per-views.
Yes, absolutely, because that man likes his 4 or 5 hour long pay-per-views.
Kyle with a good comment here. I am, but the random Kenny turn out of nowhere didn't sit right with me personally. Felt random. That is the title of our episode tonight, which is episode 295, by the way, for anybody tracking at home, which I know none of you are. But anyways, I'm throwing that out there. The cleaner is back, Paul. It sure looks like, you know, for weeks, even though we've liked this feud, we've liked the build to Ospreay and Kenny. But for weeks, it's kind of like they're like, well, we're friends, but, you know, I'm still going to beat you type thing. It got a lot more personal this week, especially in the sit down with Renee. Then at the end of the show, Kenny showed some true heel cards. So with 1 week left, it's definitely not, it was always going to be a pro Ospreay crowd, especially at Wembley anyways, but now even more so.
I've always been a big fan of the cleaner version of Kenny. A lot of merch you can sell with that. And believe it or not, it does sell a lot of merch. And I think it's right to do it. Whether you say, it doesn't sit right with me, you know, I get it. Does feel a little random, but this also means when he drops the title, we know he's not going to go right back to the Bucks and get involved in a program there. Like we had talked. I mean, he could.
I'm not so sure.
All right. But
especially if a certain tag team debuts at All In, like we think.
Yeah. But then you're playing good guy, bad guy with the Bucks again. What are we going to be this week? They never know.
We got Jay Golden in chat. What's going on, buddy?
What's up?
I think they both should have just stayed babyface with the respect factor in play, just because I think we all know Will wins regardless. You know, we kind of saw him turn. Well, we did see him turn on Will at Redemption at the end of the show. They should have just kept that going instead of kind of going back to being friends, and then turning yet again. But
yeah, but we knew somebody had to go heel in this because Kenny is, or Tony is not a fan of baby versus baby, heel versus heel for a title.
Sure. It's very true. That's
so
probably the reason that Tekla's no longer holding the AW Women's Championship.
Yeah, and we kind of felt that way when Kenny won the title. Of course, we knew MJF was going to struggle to keep it all the way to Wembley.
Right.
We didn't expect him to be back as quick as he was, so we could have gotten away with it, but it sounded like he was going to be out for months. So we dropped the title, put it on Kenny so that we have a face and a heel, and then we go and have Ospreay turn face and turn on the Death Riders, and now we were face-face, and we knew that wasn't going to last. Somebody had to go, and I think Ospreay gets too much of a pop heading into Wembley, especially. You can't have the man be a heel.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a huge problem with it, but I wish I knew what was going to have to happen after All in regards to Kenny. I hope he stays in this character for a little while, but I don't know. If I was a betting man, I'd say he's going to go right back with the Bucks as face, who knows what happens with them in Cope and Cage. I mean, they could show more of a heelish side, I guess.
Who knows? Well,
how you know, Paul?
I don't.
Got a comment here on YouTube. Love the early start. I wish the U.S. pay-per-views would start early in the day. I've heard that a lot out there at IWC. So
it's hard, especially on a Sunday, to stay up till 12, 1, sometimes 2 o'clock if you watch the post-show stuff, and then get up for work at 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Now, this, we should note, this will be the last AEW Sunday pay-per-view of the year. Because, of course, NFL is starting here in a couple weeks. And Tony doesn't run Sunday pay-per-views during NFL season. So, All Out, Wrestle Dream, Full Gear, World's End are all on Saturdays. So, the next Sunday pay-per-view will be 2027 for Revolution.
Unless Tony says,
assuming that's on Sunday. That could be on a Saturday as well. I don't know. But
Tony says screw it and changes his mind and says, don't worry about Jacksonville anymore.
Pretty sure his dad wouldn't let him do that. But
I know.
But the only one that could be is World's End. The other three are already announced. All Out, Wrestle Dream, and Full Gear have been announced, dates and everything. And I believe tickets have been on sale. All Out's in Chicago, Wrestle Dream's in Orlando, Full Gear's in Phoenix. World's End, I don't believe there's been a date or a location yet. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yes, we will.
Steffi's in the chat. Hey, Steffi, good to see you this week.
What is up?
But it was interesting this week, Paul. And I should mention to everybody, especially that's listening on audio, that might at a later date, that might be thinking, where's Shep? I haven't heard Shep's voice. Shep earlier today said he was 50-50 for tonight's pod. He and the family come down with some sort of bug. So the fact we're a little over 8 minutes in, we haven't seen him. I'm guessing he's not making an appearance.
Well, I did check my phone while you were rambling. He did text our group as you hit go live. I'm out, boys. So no Shep this week, but you still get a two-man pod.
Still get a two-man pod. I need to get myself a graphic with just you and me up there. And no Shep.
Yeah.
I'll work on that. But all good. Hope Shep gets feeling better.
Absolutely. That stuff's not fun.
I thought maybe he was just celebrating too hard after winning a golf outing I was in yesterday.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, that could be the case, right?
Yeah, it could be. No.
And it's his fault for not being here to celebrate, because I had some good ones to come back at him with. But,
Now you just get to put up with my puns.
Yeah. I mean, between you and me, Paul, if it's a two-man team tournament and you bring in a former PGA Tour player who won a PGA Tour tournament in 2002, you should probably win the team event. So just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. But that's the only thing he's going to win, Paul, because he's not getting the KOP predictions title off me next week. Oh, no, no, no. Nope. Neither are you. Neither are you, my friend.
Hey, just staying hey. Right here. I'm going to actually have to try this time. Last pay-per-view, I didn't, so that I knew I was doing the ice bucket challenge.
Which Shep was supposed to do this weekend, and obviously if he's not feeling well, that's not getting done. So,
Right.
I'm going to keep on him. I'm going to keep on about it, though.
Yeah, you have to.
Yep.
Yeah, I waited around for what he said he had in store for me if I lost, and, well, we know how that happened.
But for everybody interested, we will be doing our all-in predictions show next Saturday. Saturday, the 29th.
Yes.
Not sure what time yet. We'll put it out on socials when we confirm the time. But we've been normally doing them on Fridays. But with the Sunday pay-per-view, Saturday works better for all of our schedules this time. So.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So, looking forward to it. 9 match cards so far. There'll be more added.
Oh, at least one, if not three.
But what did you think overall of Dynamite this week? I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really solid episode, but I was shocked at the different opinions out there in IWC. Some people liked it. Some people hated it.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was a good one. It was solid from start to finish. Yeah. It's the stuff that I like. I think it's got to do with matches ending up weird places. You know, we were really looking forward to Moxley and White at Wembley.
It was a hell of a match the other night.
Oh, absolutely. Great match,
but I do still wish they would have saved that for Wembley. I think that was the biggest match they could have done in the Continental Cup. Now, seeing who's in the semis, I know what they're doing now. They're right. Playing the hometown hits. I know what they're doing with Nigel. I get it. Mm-hmm. But that was a fun match between Mox and Jay White. And I figured Mox was going to win, but they had me a couple times. With a couple of false finishes, man.
Yes. And I know we're talking about Dynamite, but while we're on Mox,
We can go all over the place tonight. Paul, it's you and me.
Continental. Can we talk about the fact that Claudio took it to Garcia like he was his worst enemy, not a teammate?
Loved it. And we know Claudio and Mox will do the same thing on Dynamite.
Yes.
And I saw it in person back in December. At the Fishers Event Center, and Pluggo did too, because he went. They fought, if you remember right, in the C2 that night. Yeah. Claudio beat Mox. So keep that in mind going into Wednesday night. Claudio beat him last time, and they didn't take it easy on each other. That's what I like about the Death Riders. Like, I know a lot of people don't like them, but like, they're all friends. They have each other's back. But when it's mano a mano, one on one, it's time to brawl. Doesn't matter. I like
that. And I think the downfall for the Death Riders stuff is this lack of the storytelling.
Fair.
Because we built like we were going to tell this amazing story with these guys, and then it all kind of fizzled out due to a bunch of injuries that nobody could have predicted coming when we started the storyline.
Right. And we got a comment here about the Death Rider or evolving the Death Rider. Assuming Ospreay wins at All In and Mox does as well, I'm thinking they will they'll move right into Ospreay defending against Mox and the Death Riders over the fall. That would seem like a pretty easy direction. I did throw this out there last week that I'm involved in a picks league over with the Turnbuckle Tavern guys. And one of the guys over there, Ace, or maybe I told you guys this off air, but I'm throwing it out there now. Ace, who does a lot of in-ring announcing for some independents and stuff in New York, he made a long-term bold, because we can make bolds and long-term bolds and all this type of stuff.
Right.
He put a long-term bold in 2 weeks ago that All Out, Will Ospreay would defend the title against Bobby Lashley. And that was so specific. I'm like, does he know it something? Is.
Yeah, I mean... That's
so it'll be interesting to see how that ages. It would be really random, because right now we see the Hurt Syndicate involved with Shane Taylor Promotions. And I'm not saying I wouldn't like Bobby Lashley going after the title, because I think that's been overdue in AEW, but the timing of it's weird. and Bobby hasn't really had a singles push. So
Bobby doesn't need a singles push. Look at the man.
Very true.
If Bobby Lashley comes up to me and says, look, I'm going to go out, I'm going to cut a promo, I'm going to challenge for the title. Yes, sir. How much time do you need?
Yeah, you're right. What's going on, Steven? Good to see you in the chat. Majin, hey guys, just popping in and say, I hope you have a great show. I'm working a wrestling show, so I can't stay.
Stay safe. Have
no problem, man. Yep. Steven here. Like to see Mox versus Kyle in the final, but won't be surprised if it's going to be Mox versus Nigel final at All In. Nigel's Cinderella retirement match. I think you're on to something there with the word retirement. Yeah. I think mm-hmm. that's where we're going. I was surprised that Kyle O'Reilly beat Orange personally on Collision.
But
with Nigel's style, makes a lot of sense.
But I like Kyle O'Reilly, so
I don't mind him. I'm so on. I like to watch him wrestle. I'm not huge on his comedic character, but
out of the undisputed era or mm-hmm. whatever we want to call him at this point, mm-hmm. he's the one we've seen the most since they all came to AEW.
Oh, Tony loves him. Tony loves him.
And he's my second favorite. Yeah, so
that's fair. I mean, Roderick Strong's really the only one that hasn't been hampered by injuries.
God, I don't like Roderick though.
I know. I like watching him wrestle. I love his theme song. His theme song is fire, in my opinion.
All right, if
that's the best thing about you, you know.
I mean, I've got a pretty fire song too. So you know, should I be as over as he is?
You do have a couple fire songs, Paul.
Exactly. Just saying. Paul, what should you have throw? One about Mountain Dew, but you know, you ain't done that one.
Yeah. A little afraid of some sort of copyright out there, but never. This is a rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Hey, that's free game, my friend. That is not a Mountain Dew logo, my friend.
No, it's not.
It's rabbit hole here, but what's your favorite pro wrestling theme song of all time?
Oh, good Lord. That is...
It's very tough.
Man, I can think of a few. You know, I put Bray Wyatt in the top five just, you know, out of respect.
You know, I'm probably going to get a lot of heat for this. Especially since Bray's passed, but he's a wrestler I could never really get into. I just couldn't.
Not everybody did.
I know. I hate saying that with given the circumstances, but I always
liked the Wyatt family version of him mm-hmm. more than necessarily the Fiend version. I did like the Fiend version, but of all his versions of the Wyatt family kind of cult leader.
Stephen Chambers says it's high for him between NWO Wolfpack and DX. Two good ones there.
Is a good one. The Rocks is too simple. I know everybody likes.
Even though he's
Rock.
Had like 15 versions of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I mean, what's one
you could put on repeat reused. All the time and not get tired of it.
Sheamus's third one. Okay. The good theme song from Sheamus. Voices from Randy Orton.
See, here's mine. Mine would be a Randy Orton theme, but it'd be Burning to My Light. Love that one. That I think that's my favorite theme of all time.
Slow Burn or Slow Chemical. Used.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
That's a real good one.
Of course,
everybody's like Metalingus, Cold of Personality. Good ones. Don't get me wrong. But
if we're going AEW specific, Omega's is always one of mine.
I like Kyle Fletcher's right now.
Fletcher's is good. Darby's is a good one as well.
And like I said earlier, I like Roderick Strong's a lot. So
I'll give you that. Yeah. I wouldn't put it in my top five, but it's okay.
I miss Swerve's old one. Not that I hate his new one, but I miss his old one. But I got some comments here to catch up on. Fun little rabbit.
Just because you wanted to dance.
Yeah, you're right. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Nigel shouldn't have. Nigel shouldn't win at Wembley unless he's going to wrestle consistently again. I assume Mox cripples him in merry old England to get heel heat.
Mox could just walk out there and go there, and he's got heel heat. That's the best part about Mox.
Mox, I'll rewatch your show later. I'd rather have Jay White going for the world title than Lashley, to be honest. I like Jay White a lot, so I'm not going to argue that one.
Yeah.
And other comments about Lashley. Lashley should be a title contender. I wouldn't put the belt on him and would hope he does business because Ospreay or Omega or MJF could get some credibility by beating him. Yeah. Stephen Chambers also for the theme song questions at old school Freebirds Bad Street. It's before my time, but I'm familiar with it, so I respect it.
If we're going old school, man, Million Dollar Man always had a good one.
Yeah.
Ted DiBiase, Dusty.
Dusty. She's just a common man.
Gold Dusts was not.
No.
Road Warriors. I mean, each generation has their all-time
sure
great song.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, Matt Cardona's out with torn tricep.
Yes.
Yep. Hopefully it's not terrible. Hopefully it's a couple months and not a year, because I don't know if he can survive a year off TV. I don't know.
I think he could. So as we're talking injuries, have we had an update on everybody's favorite lawyer manager? Have you seen anything, whether, you know, he's paralyzed?
This guy?
Yeah.
Smart Mark Sterling.
Smart Mark Sterling. Who took a header off the side of the ring.
Yeah,
onto his head.
I think he legit had surgery, but I think he tore a tricep or bicep. And then, but also he had that spot, so he did the neck brace. But he legit, I think, because he had just had surgery within the last like year, it came back and then something happened again. So I think he's all right. I think he's all right.
I watched that video and my stomach
knots. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Thoughts and prayers to Mark Sterling. What a guy. What a guy. Does great work on ROH, did great work on AEW, and does great work for the Major Wrestling Figure podcast with Cardona and Myers over there. I like those guys a lot. So, but yeah, man. Oh, I mean, they were rocking and rolling. I kind of hit on it. You know, we got semifinals now, the Continental Cup. We're going to have Kyle O'Reilly versus Nigel McGuinness, John Moxley versus Claudio. Sucks that Eddie Kingston had to be pulled out. I don't think he was going to beat Claudio anyways.
I don't think so.
Sucks he had to be pulled out due to injury, and he was substituted by Shibata in the cup. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy that Nigel...
Or no, Daniel Garcia. Duh, not Shibata, Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about him earlier, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have known that.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Nigel recovered from his injury that wasn't probably...
That was against Shibata.
Thought.
That was when he beat Shibata. That was...
Yeah.
My brain was... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know we don't talk a lot ROH, but I was surprised to see Shep's, air quotes, stepson, Nick Wayne, didn't beat Bandido.
No. Bandido
still holds the title.
Yeah. The Ops is holding gold now down there, aren't they? I saw a picture of Hook holding up somebody's arm. It was one of those.
Yes, because they got a new member. Yeah. Action Andretti.
There Rick it
helped
is.
Them beat Leo Rush.
There it is.
But it's Leo fine.
Rush, man.
It's fine.
This dude, his fight. I'm not going to say he's a fabulous worker. He's very entertaining.
Yes.
But he finally found something that worked for him.
Yo,
it
no,
may not be something that everybody yeah. wants to watch, but the dude's doing interviews in character yep. and he's got people wanting to do his voice and yep. stuff. And it's just,
yep.
I'm glad to see he finally got something because he's come a long way from being Bobby Lashley's valet.
I wish Shep was here because he'd be cussing you out because he disagrees. He thinks Leo sucks, blah, 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 blah. But I agree with everything you said there, Paul. Like, I think he's had some ups and downs in his career. He finally found something that works. And even he's got way more AEW time than he ever did, was holding guard in ROH. And most importantly for him, he's getting more indie dates than he ever had. So,
yes,
credit where credit's due. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, okay. But let's not forget, this is also, you know, talking Shep disagreeing with us. This is also the man who thinks Jay Lethal should be in the main event of every single Dynamite from now until the end of time.
Which Jay Lethal and the Lethal Twist are the new Trios champs. So now Jay Lethal has held every title he can possibly hold in ROH.
Oh, just wait. The man's going to find a way to get into the women's division too.
Yeah, good Jay on Jay Lethal. I'm not going to rip his career or anything, but
no, dude's phenomenal.
I just it goes back to the bit where at Forbidden Door, Shep was thinking Lethal should be in the main event of the cage match. I'm just like, what?
Why is Lethal not in this?
That's just, I mean, when he was throwing out some names he threw out, I was just dumbfounded.
I know, dumbfounded. And the fact that he threw out Jay Lethal and then was legitimately not happy, I won't say upset, but he was not happy that he was not in it.
Yes, yeah,
like, I mean, dude, it wasn't there was no way they were gonna put him in it. Oh, it means it's Jay Lethal, he's fantastic, he's at it.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't a work, people. He was legit, shoot yeah. mad. Yep,
yeah,
yep.
But hey, as we're talking ROH, Dark Order got a new member.
Well, they're trying, except John Silver's against it. So,
yeah, well, yeah, no, he kind of has his reasons.
Yeah,
and it's a good story.
Hey, it gives them something to do on ROH, the Dark Order. Maybe if it goes over well, maybe they get back on AEW in a meaningful spot. I don't know.
Yes,
I don't know. Yeah. Steven Chambers, I did see the first part of your comment, didn't see the second part. Avery Styles and Kira Hogan signed with TNA. I did see Avery Styles came out at the Lockdown pay-per-view tonight to announce he had signed with TNA, and I did not see Kira Hogan, though. So.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me with Avery going over there.
It doesn't, but the timing of it, well, they're taking advantage of him being on the headlines, I think. But
yeah,
with how quickly it's happened, that kind of surprises me.
Yeah, I think it's one of those they want to train him the TNA way.
Yeah, yeah. He just like any I don't want to say nepo talent because I think that's got it wrong, but any talent
that NXT.
You're right. Any talent that's that their father or mother went through the business, you got to try to differentiate yourself and do it your own way. And I don't know, you know, Avery Styles comes out tonight to a AJ Styles looking logo, came out with the hood, flips the hood up. I'm like, you're just doing what your dad did.
Yeah. At that point, you should have just had Phenomenal One. Play.
You know what I'm saying?
Come out kind of, with
the phenomenal son. The phenomenal son is what they say. It's like, come on. Yeah.
I mean, that's like, you know, Randy, nothing like his dad.
No, God, no.
Cody's borderline. He's took a lot bits of
pieces, but
yeah.
Not, yeah.
I think the lisp doesn't help. If he didn't have that, I think he would have done less Dusty related things.
Yeah. And speaking of all this, it kind of ties into what I want to talk. We saw Sting's son, Stephen Borden, on Dynamite this week, coming to Darby Allin's aid after Darby got attacked by Keith, Kevin Knight, before the
Keith
last.
Lee?
Yeah, that's too many K's on the brain here. And then we saw him backstage too, kind of have a stare down with Kevin Knight, and he's been working dark matches, you know, and it's reported that a lot of people in the industry think he is signed to AEW officially. So if that's the case, I think they're hinting at something. I think we're going to get a Stephen Borden, Kevin Knight match not too far in the future.
And then we'll get a Darby and Stephen tag team.
Yep.
Which would be fine because then Steven still gets the chance to train more and then gets put in the spotlight.
Yeah.
He gets to not be exactly like his dad.
Yep.
But I did hear my reports have indicated that Steven does help set up the chairs.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Paul, I'm glad you brought that up because we have not talked about that. Oh. And you... You've worked in with promotions and stuff. I have not, without taking too much time, because we could go down this rabbit hole for a long time. What was your overall thoughts on that whole controversy of Avery Styles not setting up the chairs or helping or sweep and his dad coming to his defense? And then we've had so many vets of wrestling weigh in one side or the other on this.
My personal opinion, and I will probably get backlash for this of some sort because it's all part of the show. I said backlash, so I had to follow it up there.
Gotta cue it up here.
Enjoying the show? All part of the show, man.
All right.
Thank you.
Regardless of who you are, who your parents are, you should be helping set up the chairs to pay your dues. Now, I know, like Dustin has said, yes, exactly.
Stephen Chambers says Jimmy Hart still does it, set up chairs ringside. It's not a hard thing to do, guys. Like,
no. I mean, it can be tricky depending on the chairs, because if they're older chairs and they're folding,
you're going to watch your fingers.
Yes, and try to get them straight. That's always hard. I've set up chairs more times than I can care to think. I still help set up if I can make it in time to a promotion. I still help tear down if I don't have to be out of there super early. And I'm in no way, shape, or form a vet, so I feel I should be helping set up. But I've also seen guys who have been in the business 10, 15 years still grab wood, sling it up to help set up the ring, still grab chairs to help set up or tear down. You know, they'll help set up music or whatever else. So I can't exactly give him an excuse because it was on an indie show. It's not a big promotion. TNA, WWE, those types of people have people that they hire specifically for coming in and setting up the ring and the chairs.
Charles Robinson still helps out.
Well, yes, you get those, you know, Jimmy Hart, Charles Robinson, you get those that still help out. But overall, there is a hired crew that is supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Indie shows don't have that.
Yeah.
So you've got to help out. You've got to grab a chair, help set it up, you know, or at least attempt to look like you're trying to help set it up.
Yeah, my thing is, you know, the pro wrestling world is vastly different in 2026 than it was 10 years ago, let alone 70s, 80s, 90s. The whole world's different. Sports different, everything. So I get some of those things you had to do back in the day you shouldn't have to do anymore. You know, there's probably not as much locker room hazing, blah blah blah, as there shouldn't be. But something like this, it's not hard to do. And like, my opinion is just do it. Like, help out a little bit, move on. Like,
yeah. I mean, I had a whole train of thought here. Oh, it's no different than, you know, people who play golf.
Yeah.
You didn't just walk out onto the field and say, look, I'm part of the PGA, sign me up, I'm going to go, you know, compete for a green jacket or gold jacket or whatever it is. I don't know.
Green jacket, gold jacket. Who gives a shit?
I'm not a golf guy.
Green jacket. You got it right, for sure.
You know, if you're going to play baseball,
yeah,
you're going to help grab the balls go flying. Yeah. You know, you do still help set up stuff in some way, shape, or form for any professional sport.
Yeah.
Wrestling's no different. I mean, you know, if Babe Ruth's son decided to play baseball, again, a little bit of a different era, but he probably still would have been out there helping grab the bats, grab the balls, you know, let's go warm up. Here's a bucket of balls for you.
Yep.
So.
Yep. 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 Yep.
That's my 10 cents on it.
Very good. Very good. That's perfect. Got a comment here. Got two comments. One just came in from Danny Hutkins, PW, and now I'm going to go back to his other comment on here. GCW has been around since 1999. Technically, they are a traveling promotion. They go all over the country. They should be able to hire a ring crew. It's not like a promotion in Indiana that no one knows.
And I will say, to be fair to Danny here, I know the guy that GCW rents their rings from. He does have people, but it's also very nice when the promotion says, hey, thank you for letting us use your ring. Thank you. Even though we paid you, you know, thank you. We'll get it from here. You go do your stuff. Cause there's times that gentleman has five rings set up in multiple different states on the same day, and he's got to travel and drop every single one of them off.
Stephen Chambers says, here's my beef, guys. The dude bitching about it shouldn't put it out on social media.
I agree.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. Here's the one comment I wanted to get your take on, Paul, and then also Danny's take here. Danny Hutkins, PW on YouTube, said this is the worst build for All In. It's like TK doesn't care as long as he pleases Dave Meltzer with these dumb five-star matches. Hope the show is good, but I'm very disappointed. Danny, which matches are you disappointed in, and which matches would you like to see in place of those? I mean, I can't say I'm fired up 100% for every match, but some of these you can go back 4 or 5 months and see they were building to it. Other ones, I scratched my head a little bit. I mean, looking at the card, Willow and Mercedes. Part of me wishes it was Tekla versus Mercedes, but Tony doesn't like babies versus babies, heels versus heels. And supposedly the original plan before Willow got injured or whatever situation ended up being, she was supposed to come into All In as champ and face Mercedes. And then they had to pivot and kind of rewrite that story to where, Mercedes was supposed to come into All In and face Willow. So then they had to pivot and kind of flip-flop it. Kenny versus Ospreay. We thought that was going to be the case for a while. If not, it was going to be MJF Ospreay. I'm pumped for that match. I think everybody is. Cope and Cage versus the Bucks. We here at KOP saw the writing on the wall for that one for a long time. No complaints. Andrade, MJF, Ciampa, and then the rest of the participants in the Casino Gauntlet match. I'd rather it be Andrade versus MJF in a one-on-one.
Yeah. But
I get it. I get it with the number one contender on the line, but that's one I'm like, that should have been Andrade MJF in a one-on-one match. Divine Dominion versus Brawling Birds. That's been set up forever. It was just the problem was Divine Dominion didn't have any good contenders to go against in the meantime till the Birds got to them. Kevin Knight versus Darby. False Count Anywhere is going to rule, but I get it. They set it up back to Double or Nothing with the ending. I understand. You gotta, you know, put a book into it. But Fletcher, Takeshita, Okada, there's been a lot of history there. That match could steal the show, in my opinion. Then Hangman Brodito, not the way I would have handled Hangman's return, putting gold on him with this, you know, already set tag team and just kind of forming a fan favorite trio.
Right.
But we're going to have tons of trios teams in this match. That's an easy way to get people on the card. I'm not huge on it, but I really think they're basically doing it to get Kofi and Austin Creed involved coming in with Swerve. That's the main thing there. Is that the way I would have debuted them? Probably not, is what it is. But I'm just curious what what you would have done instead. And he says, my one stance is the Omega Ospreay match. I wish it was MJF instead of Omega. The biggest star AEW has is MJF with his movie career, red carpet events, podcast, et cetera. More casuals would have been into it. Thoughts, Paul?
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked that it would be great to have Ospreay MJF. Or even Omega MJF. We thought at one point we were going to get Omega MJF at Wembley. And we were psyched for that. I think the problem becomes there is a lot of history with Omega Ospreay. Not even just this build, but beyond either of their times at AEW. Even if you go in AEW, Ospreay's the one who took Omega out of the Don Callis family. Omega's the one that said, Ospreay, careful, he's going to do it to you too. There's been a lot of back and forth between these two, whether it be friendly, foe. So I'm excited for it, but I think we could have done MJF, Omega, MJF, Ospreay, and it'd been just as good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm more excited for the Ospreay Omega match just because this is the third time we've seen them. MJF Ospreay, we saw him a lot in 2024, even though they had great matches over the Continental Championship or the American Championship while MJF had it. And this would have been different with the world title. I still think we get that before things are all said and done. Ospreay versus MJF for the world title. So I think they went the right route with it, but I get it. MJF's a huge star too in AEW, so I get it. Gail says, and just all over with storytelling, AEW, this is the same company that Punk versus MJF, Swerve versus Hangman, Tony Storm versus Mariah May, etc. Those stories were incredible. So I know AEW is capable of putting on really good shows and matches to get people invested emotionally. I'm just not invested in anything they're currently doing. And that's fair. That is fair to each their own. I think AEW has been pretty hot in 2026. I mean, I'd rather, and we're an AEW podcast, so I'm going to be a little biased, but I'm way more tuned into AEW than I am anything that WWE is doing. I can't get into much over there, but that's just my cup of tea. And everybody, you know, what we always preach is watch your wrestling on this podcast, because there's so many good companies out there to watch. So,
and to be fair, All In has always been a good pay-per-view, but it always seems to be the one that lacks the most story building to it. If you look back, we've kind of always said, oh, well, I wish they could have told this story a little more. I wish we could have gotten more why this
was. Aside from the big main, it's right, not arguing right. That. Yeah. Yeah. You know, because the main last year's Hangman Mox, that was built there for a while. Year before in 2024 was Bryan Danielson versus Swerve. Bryan Danielson had that arc trying to get the belt. Year before that was MJF, Adam Cole. That was built in with a better than you, Bay Bay. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, other than your main event, the rest of the card has always kind of been lackluster when it comes to the storytelling aspect of it.
Steph here in the comments said, Majin got another win on the indie show he's on.
So, hey, congratulations, Majin. Right. Rack up those W's. Go for the gold.
The big dog.
Wins count.
So we got 9 matches so far for All In. More on the main card. More will be added, I'm sure. I saw Shep's boy, Big Boom AJ, is been getting back in ring shape, so he's obviously going to be on the 0 hour, I presume.
Typically he is.
Are we going to get a TBS title match on this card, Paul? And if so, who do you think's involved? Because we saw Maya World defender title against Sheeta, Statlander, and who was Persephone the fourth?
Yes.
Who's the fourth out? Persephone. In a very good 4-way match, I thought, on Dynamite. in which I think you thought there was going to be a title change. I think Shep and I thought Maya World would defend her title.
No, I thought she'd retain it. I ask if there was, who would you like to see it put on?
But in your opinion, do you think we'll get a TBS title match on this card?
We should. I don't know who you do it against.
I know.
Because that's after. Never mind.
She had a good match with Willow, too, last night on Collision. I mean, knew Willow wasn't going to win, but she can go.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at, because like all the other titles are going to be defended on this card.
And we've got what, 17 titles in AEW right now?
Excuse me. The national title will not be defended because Andrade's in the Gauntlet. I forget about that title, though. It's meaningless.
But at least the title will be on the pay per view.
Yeah, but the Continental's going to be defended. The World title is going to be defended. TNT, Women's World, Women's Tag, Trios. So, yeah.
Trios.
It's your biggest event. You got to put it on there, right? Somewhere. I just don't know who, unless she does an open challenge and we get a return or something.
Yeah, but who? And that's not a setup for anything. That's a legit who.
I always want to say the doctor, but like, I'm thinking they're saving her for the Rebel Heart show on September 9th, which I think we talked about this. We did, when the Turnbuckle Tavern guys were on.
I was not able to be
Chad and though. Chad Smith and Chad Sneed, which shout to those guys. And I agreed with their take. Like, we want to see her back for that show, but she needs to be back before then. Like, it just doesn't feel right just bringing her back for that show, you know? So maybe that's
right.
Maybe you do have her show up at Wembley, or if not, the Dynamite after. So that way she's on TV before the Rebel Heart show on September 9th.
That would work. That would work.
And she could get some people talking about the TBS title.
She could.
But I also would hate her being off TV that long and coming to win the title. But
if it's an open challenge.
Yeah, you're right. We've seen it, right?
I mean, what? Ciampa came in, won the title right off the bat, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
See?
It shocked everybody.
And that was a debut, not that even was a return. Debut.
You're right.
I think I kind of go back to the Kairi Sane is really the only other one I could see. Maybe not win it, but accept the challenge and Maya goes over her, and then come Dynamite, she says that was BS. It was my debut, nerves, something stupid, you know, and challenges and wins again.
That's the big glaring hole to me with this card and everybody on it or not on it is, where the hell's Tekla? Unless she's wanting to take a break, which is hard to imagine because All In's, you know, quote unquote, AEW's version of WrestleMania, or they're trying to make it be.
Right.
I mean, she's been great for the women's division all year, held the title from early spring clear through July. It's like, where is she at? And you could easily keep her rivalry with Stardom going and bring a surprise in like Kairi Sane, even if it's for a one-off.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be okay with that. Tekla does an open challenge on the pre-show, maybe.
Danny Hutkins,
even though she's bigger than that.
Yeah. Danny Hutkins, PW, what are your thoughts on AEW having overruns every week, even though they tend to be AEW's lowest viewership? Hey, if I'm Tony Khan and Warner Bros. Discovery are letting you have an overrun, you take it. I think it shows Warner Bros. Discovery loves AEW because you don't just give a program a 30-minute, 40-minute overrun and cut it over other programming, no matter what it is, for nothing. I think their partnership with Warner Bros. Discovery is as healthy right now as it ever has been. So,
Absolutely. It may be the lowest views because that's the time people are starting to wind down for bed if they've got to work the next morning, you know.
I just don't get caught up in the ratings that much. No, I mean,
I can't anymore with all the streaming and recording and delays. And
like lately for me on Wednesday nights, I've been catching up an hour later on the show. So I'm watching it when it's already recorded. So you know, there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of that going on. People watching it the next day, yada, yada. But no, I saw the numbers too. I mean, I've seen them out there. You know, Meltzer and Alvarez have talked about it. And Alvarez is all over AEW's ratings lately. But I'm like, I don't know why we're so worried about ratings in 2026 because, you know, people just watch everything, not just wrestling, in so many different ways now.
Right.
It's more right. comes down to ad buys than anything these days.
And the problem becomes not a lot of ad buys here lately either, because right. you turn it on, you're going to see sometime, because I watch it on the HBO Max app.
Right.
There's times a commercial break will start with one commercial, second commercial, something different. Third commercial is the same one as the first one.
Yeah. They're getting more bang for their buck. The advertiser yeah. is. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. If the Paramount thing ever does go through with Warner Brothers Discovery, I know it's on hold for now, but I know Tony Khan's been on record really hoping that happens. He's got a good relationship with the Paramount people. So, yeah.
And let's not forget, for a company that's only
seven
years old, they have their own channel on Roku now.
Yeah, they're good. They're getting more spots. I mean,
it's just replays of the older stuff. But if there wasn't the viewership there, why would they allow that?
Yeah, the My AEW stuff's really taken off, too.
Yes, it is.
And getting more indie promotions on there, and yeah, that'll be a good channel as it ages, or a good,
yep.
good not channel, app. Good thank you app streaming option, whatever you call it. Yeah. I don't think AEW is going anywhere. I'm just putting it out there. I mean, they're fine. Tony Khan and his family are billionaires. They're fine. If Warner Brothers dropped them, they would get a deal somewhere, or, you know, they're fine.
I wouldn't put it past the Khans to start their own television network.
You never know.
If Warner ever did drop them.
Yep. They're fine. People would find them wherever they go. I mean, if you like the company and you want an alternative from WWE, you'll find them. So,
yep.
I mean, TNA doesn't do good ratings and they're on AMC. So
that was my next statement. And NXT is available for free now on CW, including their pay-per-views.
I mean, heck, NWA is on Saturdays on one of my YouTube TV channels. NWA Power. So there's tons of avenues out there, but I think they'll be just fine. But
except you don't get Dark Side of the Ring because you don't get Vice,
which is really dumb. Yeah, Vice. and also I realized the other day, no MLB Network on YouTube TV. I didn't realize that until the other day for some reason. You know, got NFL Network, got NBA TV, got even like pickleball TV, but no MLB Network. It's kind of strange. Well,
pickleball.
Yeah, I know. What do we got on Dynamite this week besides the two semifinal matches? What is the date on the this? There he is. And it's Glasgow, not Glasgow. It's Glasgow. That's how it's pronounced.
Glasgow.
It's Dynamite and Collision this week. Let's see what we got on the card. We got Swerve Strickland versus Jack Perry.
Okay.
We got both semifinals for the Continental Challenge Cup, Nigel McGuinness versus Kyle O'Reilly, John Moxley versus Claudio. And we got appearances from MJF and Andrade El Idolo advertised. Wednesday's Dynamite will be on a tape delay and is the go-home show for next Sunday's. So stay off the spoilers.
Yeah. Which doesn't really matter for me. I have to close Wednesday night anyway, so I'd be watching it the next day.
Yeah. I'll just stay off my normal dirt sheet checking for the day. So,
yeah.
real quick, Paul, while I'm thinking about it, and I know we have our match, our AEW All In main card match predictions, picks and predictions coming up on Saturday. But, and this won't be tied into that. That's why I'm asking you this now. And I would like to get Shep's opinion, but he's not joining us tonight. So I want your official predictions on returns and debuts for All In.
Well,
and Steffi, I have not caught the Missy Hyatt episode yet. So she said it was mid.
So. Well, I think we all know one debut we're getting.
Kofi and Woods.
Yeah. Man, who else? I don't think we're going to get an Adam Cole return anytime in 2026 and maybe not even 27.
I don't know if we ever see him return in the ring, fortunately.
Well, I didn't say in ring. I just said just return. In general.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like the Kairi Sane thing, even if it's just a one-off. I always thought she was the most underrated.
Danny saying Kofi and Woods and Dragunov, who's done with WWE now. Yeah. So
I could see Dragunov, but 90 days. So
he doesn't have a 90 days.
No,
he
does 90 not days? Have a 90 okay. days.
Yep.
Okay. Contract. I don't follow that crap as much.
Yeah,
as
and everybody's is different, but I just read the other day he does not have a 90 days, and supposedly he wanted more money, and WWE didn't want to renew his contract for more money, so that's why he has not been on TV since around Mania season. So
yeah, and he was getting a hell of a push.
Yeah, he was a U.S. champ. Just, poof. Yeah, he can really go in the ring.
Well, now the U.S. titles. Looks like a fur coat, so don't even get me started
yes,
on that.
Yes. I got two names in mind that you haven't mentioned.
Buddy Matthews.
That's the one. I think we'll see him in the Gauntlet. Casino Gauntlet.
Yeah. I don't think we'll see anything from Malachi. He's back to Tommy End, and I think he's sticking strictly to the indies.
I MLW maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Who else you got?
I'm hoping for Wardlow because, you know, I'm a big Wardlow guy. But I don't know where that makes sense besides the Gauntlet.
The Gauntlet comes back and helps MJF win it.
I don't want him to pair with MJF again.
I'm telling you, I think that's what they're going to do.
That'd be better than the Callis family stuff that we saw him in last year at Forbidden Door, and then when he tore his pec, they were setting up a swerving to him feud, which was going to be fun. Rumor has it, if you remember right, Paul, rumor has it he was going to be the one to challenge Hangman All Out last year, not Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
So they were ready to push him because that's the one thing for Ospreay is there's not a lot of big time heels in the company for him to go against.
No,
so they got to figure that out. Danny throws out Sheamus with a question mark.
I wouldn't mind it. I've always enjoyed him.
Yeah.
I think he was completely underutilized, especially this last.
I mean, he held every title except the Intercontinental title. So, I mean, he had a
career. But it was short runs. It was never anything memorable.
Yeah. I think he did everything he could have done in WWE.
In the company. Yes. Yes. I agree.
So I'm trying to think of anybody on the shelf. Keith Lee would be great. Yeah, I'm done getting my hopes up with him. I don't know his medical situation.
Jay Lethal.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I can't really think of anybody else.
Jeff Jarrett.
I'm always good for Double J being on my television.
Marco Stunt.
Nope. I'll turn it off.
I mean, you got trios.
Don't put that evil on me. Don't you do that. Look, and
if
Luchasaurus is on the shelf. So
yes. But if Marco Stunt shows up at Wembley,
I will not turn it off until the next match is on.
If Marco Stunt shows up at Wembley for any reason whatsoever, other than as a fan, I will not challenge for the KOP predictions title the rest of the year.
Well, I hope you're challenging it all out, because that means the son of a bitch didn't show up. So that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else, Paul? Heck yes, Steffi.
Let's go to Wembley.
J-E-double-F-J-A-double-R-E-double-T. Last Outlaw. Yeah, let's go to Wembley, my friend. And once again, we'll be back Saturday with our all-in picks and predictions. So follow us on the socials. We don't know yet. So follow us on the socials. And Paul will tell you all about it, where you can find us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Social media. Follow the Kicking Out Podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcast, and leave us that 5-star review, because we are 5-star KOP. And the Kicking Out Podcast is part of the Main Event Wrestling Network. So search them up on all social media. You've got nonstop wrestling talk over there. Everything from indies to TNA to AEW to WWE, anything and everything you can think of. And they even talk other things over there.
And big mini marathon coming up over Labor Day weekend on Saturday, September 5th, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Not sure where the KOP boys will be yet on that schedule. We'll have to figure it out. But stay tuned.
Yes. And you can hit up the public Discord for the Main Event Wrestling Network as well. So go check out the Main Event Wrestling Network. Be sure to check out kickingoutshop.com. It's your place to go for some great merchandise, like this Mountain Dew Paul t-shirt, like that Kicking Out Podcast coffee mug that Tanner has. It's a great way to support a great podcast and look absolutely fantastic while doing so. Be sure to follow all of us on social media. You can follow the Missing in Action Austin Shepherd at the Shep 27. Follow your KOP predictions champion at Tanner Lee 92.
And still.
What?
You're not getting me this week.
Darn. And you can follow myself at Paul Zartman 87. And with that, for Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us Saturday as we make our predictions and kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.